of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, Nicodemus is a good religious person. He is what most people think all people should be. He has a good reputation. He's an upstanding citizen. He's well respected in his religious community, a Pharisee even. Jesus later in our text refers to him as a teacher of Israel. Why does Nicodemus come to Jesus during the night? Why not by light of day? What does he see in Jesus? And what doesn't he want people to see in him? Nicodemus does see something in Jesus. That's why he comes to him. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs you do unless God were with you. Nicodemus looks at Jesus and he sees a great teacher. Nicodemus looks at all the signs and the wonders that Jesus does and he sees God with Jesus. This is what the eyes see. This is what the flesh sees. And the flesh is always looking to lead by sight. Being led by sight, the heart is given to pursue the works of the flesh. It's a cycle of leading and following, which ultimately ends in death. Because what we see often is in error and fails us. Nevertheless, what we see often lures us. It appeals to what we think we already know. That's why Nicodemus comes to Jesus with such confidence. Rabbi, we know. We know who you are. We've seen your signs, and now, because Nicodemus knows who Jesus is, he comes to Jesus secretly because he's not really ready for everybody else to know that Nicodemus knows. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus to let Jesus know that he knows. And because he knows, he hopes Jesus will affirm what he knows. But not only what he knows, he wants Jesus also to affirm what he does. Nicodemus is really there to get some affirming words for his flesh. I know who you are, Jesus. I know that you are a good Jewish teacher blessed by God, which is confirmed by these signs that you do. I also am a good Jewish teacher. It's as though Nicodemus were asking Jesus, do you know who I am? Well, Jesus does know who Nicodemus is. And he knows who you are. He knows the hearts of all men and women and children. In fact, that's exactly how chapter 2 ends. St. John says, but Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Nicodemus is no different than any other man, woman, or child. Neither are you. Jesus knows what is in Nicodemus, and he knows what is in you. You and I, we desire the same things from Jesus that Nicodemus does in our text. We all want Jesus to affirm us. We want him to praise us for the kind of life that we're leading. We want Jesus to look down from heaven, to see what we're doing, and to smile. Jesus knows this about us, and he won't let us remain in such delusions. So Jesus immediately responds to Nicodemus, unless one is born from above, born again, he says, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus thinks he sees, and because he sees, he thinks he knows. You and I, we see what's on the outside, and let's be honest, we kind of like what we see on the outside. Well, if we're really honest, we love what we see. And we think Jesus does too. We think we know, but we don't. And Jesus won't let us remain in this ignorance. What we see in ourselves, what Nicodemus not nearly as good as we believe. Jesus says we need to be born again. We don't need to be reformed. We don't need to try harder. We don't need to practice longer, develop better methods, or do things with a more fervent sincerity. We don't need to tweak a part of our life over here or a little bit of part of our life over there. We don't need to be more passionate about our relationships or our vocations or even our worship. We don't need to show God how much we love Him. We don't need to improve our piety. In fact, we don't need to be better. Jesus says we need to be born again. And that means our first birth wasn't good enough. And that's offensive. That hurts my feelings. And that certainly doesn't affirm my beliefs or my lifestyle. When Jesus says, I need to be born again, he's telling me that I'm not good enough for the kingdom of God, that I'm not good enough for him as I am. And you know what? He's right. I do need to be born again. But to be born again, I need to die first. But I don't want to die. I'm afraid to die. So how can I die and survive to be born again? With Nicodemus, I ask, how can these things be? And again, Jesus knows this. Jesus knows you. He speaks what he hears and gives testimony to what he sees. There is nothing that is hidden from him. He saw your unformed body in the womb and was actively knitting and weaving and forming and fashioning you before you were born the first time. Nothing has been hidden from him since then either. And that he knows you so well is not cause for alarm, but rather for your comfort. Jesus cares for Nicodemus. He cares for you. He loves Nicodemus. He loves you. God sent Jesus for this very reason, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. You, beloved, are part of this world. Therefore, God sent Jesus to save you. Being saved and being born again are one and the same event. Jesus himself links the two when he directs Nicodemus to that serpent on a stick. Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, just as God so long ago provided salvation from death and judgment by giving his people an object to see and a promise to believe, so also does he work the same wonders, giving his Son into death, so that all who believe are saved not just for this life, but for all eternity. You see, beloved, God did not send a servant or an angel or even an archangel. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, the Son whom he's loved from eternity, and he sent him to be born for you. He laid down his life for you. He poured forth his blood for you, even though there's nothing that's any good in us. In Christ Jesus, God stooped low, bending heart and head and knee to my festering wounds which were caused by my own rebellion against God and his law. He took on my wounds as a mortal man, but he was God in the flesh. He was crucified as a victim of justice, and yet also entered the Holy of Holies as our eternal high priest. He offered up his blood and cleansed the whole world. And the whole world includes you and me and Nicodemus in our text. By Jesus' death, sin dies. All sin, your sin and my sin, all the world's sin. And by his resurrection, new life begins. New life reigns. His life, eternal life, life which he desires to give as a gift freely and joyfully to you and me. And to all people in the world, this is the gift he wants to give to Nicodemus. But Nicodemus just can't wrap his brain around it. He can't fathom the depths of the love of our God. He's come to Jesus seeking affirmation. And instead, Jesus has offered him a second birth. Nicodemus doesn't know what to do with that. He doesn't know how that happens, how that can be. Who can work such things? Nicodemus came to Jesus assuming to know, but now listening to Jesus, he just doesn't know because he wants everything to fit in his tiny little theological box. And God is bigger than our tiny little theological boxes. Jesus says, to be born again, one must be born of water and the Spirit. Why? Because flesh gives birth to flesh. And we need a spiritual rebirth. And we can't do this on our own. It can only happen through the Spirit and water. Jesus unites the Spirit's word and work with water. And Nicodemus is told not to marvel at such things. For the Spirit blows when and where He wills it, and beloved, the Spirit wills to be at work in the water. This isn't to confuse us, but is rather given for our certainty. How can I be born again and survive? Jesus says to be born again by water and the Spirit. Water is for the washing, and the Spirit is for regeneration. Through these, God saved us, not by anything we have done in righteousness, but by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus. And so, new birth is a gift. It's a gift that's given in water and the Word. And we can be sure of it because we have God's Word and promise. Before this new birth, we were blind, dead, and enemies of our God. We could do nothing towards God except sin and make matters worse. But now, beloved, now that God has come to us in the person of His Son, revealed His heart under water by the Spirit, and we are quickened then to life and given to believe the gospel. Faith is wrought in our hearts, and God is shown to be loving, merciful, gentle, and gracious. For in baptism I am united to the one who was born for me. Born without sin, never having sinned, and He took my place in death. I am crucified with Christ. In baptism I die, and yet I survive. In dying with Christ, I am also raised with Christ. In baptism I die, and I rise. You die, and you rise. Not as the same old sinner as before, but as a new creation, raised unto newness of life towards God, the God who loved us and gave up His life for us and your neighbors. Baptism, you see, puts you in Christ and Christ in you. And if I am in Christ, I am a new creation. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Beloved, you are a new creation so long as you are in Christ. And so your abiding in Christ is of utmost importance. And abiding in Christ means abiding in His Word. It means following your ears and not your eyes. It means believing, not necessarily seeing. It means trusting, even when you don't understand. For us Christians, we continually return to Christ in repentance. Repentance is nothing but returning to the waters of our baptism. It's going back to the place of our new birth and being nurtured with the life-giving water that is given to well up within us by the Spirit's power. That's why we worship. And that's why we repent and seek forgiveness. For the Christian life is always one of repentance and the reception of forgiveness which comes to us through word and sacrament. If we approach Jesus seeking affirmation, we will be offended. We will have our feelings hurt. We'll be told that we need to be born again. Jesus doesn't give out affirmation. He gives out salvation through the forgiveness of sins. That's why He was sent by the Father. That's why He was born of the Virgin. That's why He died and rose again on the third day. That's why He ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And that, beloved, that is why He speaks to you today. The Son of Man was not sent to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved through Him. peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.